pleased if somebody would lay their burdens down at the altar tonight. Once again, tonight in this service, and today I've been praying the Lord would make it easy for someone to respond in an altar prayer. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to read with me tonight, I've got a few verses to read out of the book of Genesis, beginning chapter number 35. And I need your prayer tonight. I've been especially burdened this afternoon about this service. And I'd like for the Lord to really touch all of our hearts. I feel like what the Lord's given me to preach, it's something that we may have all been affected by at one time or the other. And maybe some several here tonight that's dealing with what the Lord's laid on my heart with. And I don't want you to feel intimidated by me saying that. I certainly don't want you to feel intimidated to come to the altar in a little while. And if the Lord touches you in any part of this message, if I haven't given the altar call yet, you just come right on. You're not going to interrupt the service. Genesis 35, if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word, verse number 18, I want to read a verse here. The Bible said, "And it came to pass as her soul," speaking of Rachel, Jacob and Rachel here, she was having their second son, "came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin." Now chapter 42, just turn a few verses over to chapter 42. Famine set in. Jacob is sending his sons down into Egypt to buy corn. And the Bible says here in verse 3, "And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him." Now turn with me over or a few verses down there. And verse number 36, I'm just catching a few verses down through here to hopefully catch the gist of the story. Verse number 36 of chapter 42. "Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Chapter 43, verse 11. "And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best of the fruits of the land in your vessels, carry down the manna present, a little balm, a little myrrh, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." One more passage found in the same book, chapter 45 and verse 25. "They went up out of Egypt, came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word tonight. We just catch bits and pieces of the story. I just read a few verses along the story. But Jacob was in a great struggle. It had this experience where I first read to you that the true love in his life, Rachel was in bearing their second son, second child, and she died. But before she died, she gave him a name of Benoni. And the Bible said that Jacob called him Benjamin. You know, names carried a certain significance in the Bible that they may not carry so much nowadays, but when they went to name their children meant something. It said something when you said their name. And when Rachel called him Benoni, it meant son of my pain or son of my sorrow. And Jacob was doing a noble thing in renaming Benjamin because he didn't want him to grow up carrying that stigma of his name that he was a son of sorrow or a son of pain. And so he named him son of my right hand. And so we see that Jacob was trying to do Benjamin a favor. But I really feel like in turn that it caused something else to happen in the life of Jacob. And because just a chapter or two later, we read how that Jacob's other son that was born by Rachel, his true love, he had made him that coat of many colors, made Joseph that coat. He favored him above all his other children, and we know how his brothers got jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery, would have killed him, but Reuben stopped him and said, no, we'll just sell him into slavery, not knowing what God had in store for him, though he did have a little insight that he'd got some dreams from the Lord. We know how all that took place. I'm not just going to go through every portion of this story, but Benjamin became the son of Jacob's right hand, and I feel like we could safely say that he was a crutch to Jacob. He's somebody that Jacob leaned on. And especially now after Joseph is sold, and we know the story of how that was done. They sold him into slavery. They take that coat that Jacob had spent his time and effort and love, poured his love into that coat. And they took it and dipped it in the blood of goats and came back and presented that to Jacob. And oh, the sorrow that came to Jacob's heart when he saw the coat that he had spent hours on, a token of his love for Joseph, and he saw that. And the Bible said that he saw it, and he said this, "An evil beast of the field has came up and devoured my son, and he is rent into pieces because of the beast of the field." The token that he got was a bloody coat, and it told him this story. And so I feel like with all those circumstances that Jacob cleaned closer to Benjamin, and Benjamin became a crutch. But let's back up to when he was born. A boy that was born of sorrow. His mom called him son of my sorrow. Jacob calls him son of my right hand. This afternoon when I was praying, I felt like the Lord dealt with me about this bitter experience in Jacob's life. Not only did he lose his true love in death during the birth of their son, but now he's got another bitterness on top of that. He's lost Joseph. And I feel like that his bitterness, we could safely say that was a bitter experience for even though there's joy in having a son, that was a bitter experience losing his true love. So I just want to preach to us on when bitterness becomes a crutch. This bitter experience about a Benjamin, Benoni, who his mom called him basically a bitter experience, son of my sorrow or pain. Now he's grown into something that Jacob uses as security to him and keeps close to him. I don't know what life was like for this young boy, but we kind of get an idea of it, and we know that Joseph wasn't sold into slavery for a few more years, probably after Benjamin came along, but certainly after that experience, he looked at Benjamin as, "You're never going to leave my side. I'm going to hold to you. You're all I've got left out of the memory of my true love.
I can't stand the thoughts, and then of losing you. And then we read how that the famine sets in, just as God had already been working on Joseph's side. He's now governor over all the land, and the famine has set in. And we read all the middle part of that. God had a way of providing for Jacob and his sons during this famine, and it was all part of God's design. But we read here that the famine sets in, and Jacob says to his sons, go down into Egypt and buy corn. I hear that they've been laying up for several years now and been preparing for this time. So go down there and buy corn. And we read that God's divine providence had them standing right in front of their brother, these boys standing right in front of their brother that they had sold into slavery. And he recognizes them. They don't recognize him. And they come down there. But we read that verse there in chapter number 42 that Jacob let all of Joseph's brothers go except for one. I'm not letting Benjamin go. All of you go, but I'm not going to let Benjamin go. He sent not his brother with them because he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. I've had enough bitter experiences in my life. I can't stand the thoughts of losing Benjamin also. So they go down and they talk to Joseph about coming in to buy. And first he said, y'all are spies. He was testing them. You're spies. No, we're not. We're all sons of one man. And they even said, one of our brothers is not, and one of them is still back there with our father. But we're not spies. And Joseph knew it all along. But he was doing that to test them. He said, I tell you what, so that I'll know that you're not spies, you leave. You all can stay here in prison, in my prison house, and send one back to go get your brother so I'll know that you're not lying. And that just terribly troubled those boys. And they stayed there in ward for 3 days. And finally, Joseph devised another plan. He said, just let one stay here as collateral that I'll know that you're telling the truth. And he knew it all along who they were. He said, but you go back home, and before you come back to buy more corn, you bring Benjamin with you. And so they did that. They go back home, and Simeon is absent. Don't you know Jacob asked questions then? Where's Simeon at? We talked to that man down there in Egypt, and he said he started asking us questions, and we had to answer him. He took us for spies, and he started asking if we had another brother, so we told him about Benjamin. Oh, no. You didn't tell him you had a brother. And they started saying, well, we didn't have any choice. He started asking us straightly of our state. What about our father? Do we have any more brothers? And we had to tell him about Benjamin. And Jacob said this, when the corn runs out, he says, go back down to buy more corn. And they said, Dad, we're not going to get to go unless we have Benjamin with us. Are you talking about my crutch? Are you talking about the one that I've been leaning on? There's no way I can let him go. He's the son of my right hand. I wonder how Benjamin grew up. I wonder when Jacob saw maybe some old acquaintance and they come up, and here's Jacob standing there with his crutch, Benjamin. How you doing? Oh, yeah, that's Benjamin there. Yeah, you know what happened. You heard about what happened with Benjamin, right? You heard about that. This is Joseph's little brother. I guess you heard. And I guess you heard about Joseph, how that his brother sold him. Yeah, I'm telling you what, he's daddy's boy. I'm telling you what, I couldn't do without Benjamin. I've been leaning on him for a long time now. And here's Jacob leaning on this boy. You see, that bitter experience in his life is now growing up to be a crutch to lean on. I really feel like that every time you would have talked to Jacob, that he would have looked at that boy, and that would have been a reminder about those bitter experiences in his life. Oh, my friend, I really want to preach to somebody tonight about when bitterness becomes a crutch. I really, if I was just picking things to preach on, I wouldn't have picked this tonight. But as I was praying, I felt like that this was a subject that maybe all of us have had to deal with from time to time. I really don't know the state of everybody here, but I know there are times in every one of our lives when we have those bitter experiences of life. Those undesirable things come to us, and it causes that bitter spot to be there. I know that if you were to talk to Jacob, he would have probably said, no, the bitterness was gone when I changed his name. But really, that bitterness had just grown up and became a crutch to him that he leaned on all the time. Oh, but now we're in a critical time for Jacob, and God is requiring him to let go of this crutch that he's leaned on, and this crutch that he's held on to all of this boy's life. And now God is requiring something that's harder than he's ever done. God's requiring him to let go of Benjamin. Oh, here's these brethren, and they're saying, Dad, all the food's running out, all the corn's running out, and we've got to go back down there, and we've got to buy more corn. And he said, go ahead, just go on out like you did last time. Don't you remember, Dad? We told you what the man said. We've got to take Benjamin. No. You can't touch my crutch. This is what I've been leaning on. This is what's been by my right hand all these years. I cannot stand it. As a matter of fact, he looked at them and he said, me, have ye bereaved of my children? He said, Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you're going to take away Benjamin also? And he said these sad words. He said, all these things are against me. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like that bitter thing in your life, those bitter experiences are all part of maybe even God working against you? We've got to have somebody to blame. And sometimes folks blame God for different experiences in their life, or they hold it out against somebody. I'm not undermining the pain. The pain was real. It was just as real as anything he had ever faced. But God knew that bitterness had become a crutch to Jacob, and it was time to let that go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants to touch somebody in this service tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Praise the Lord. I just wonder tonight if you've been touched by bitterness. I wonder if you have. Really, I don't. Because we've all had those experiences that if we wanted to, we could hold to them for the rest of our life. And we could say, look what they did. Look what they did. Look what they said. Have you had to deal with it? Brother Tommy, you have. A man that's a hero of mine in the faith, always got something positive to say, always an encouragement to my heart as a young man in the ministry. You've had to deal with bitter things. You've had folks say something that hurt you worse than anything in your life. You've had folks to do things that seem malicious. You've had folks to devise plans against you. You mean you have, Brother Tommy? What about it, Brother David? Have you? You've had to fight bitterness. So is it common? Is it something that every one of us have to face and deal with? Is it something that every one of us every once in a while maybe lean on a little bit? I tell you, this is just pretty real to me. Back in January, we'd have had a couple things, and if I explained it all to you, you'd listen to it, and you'd say, I don't know how you got bitter over that. That don't make sense. But you weren't sitting where I was sitting. And it didn't hit you like it hit me. Now just anybody hearing it as an outside party, it wouldn't hurt you like it did me. But it hurt. And I remember, I just felt like bearing my heart to you tonight. I remember going to the church and trying to pray over that. And I started saying, well, you know, I'm not the one in the wrong. And I don't have to put up with that. I don't have to deal with that. And it started hindering me in my prayers. And for a few weeks it festered. And for a few weeks it began to grow. You know, the Bible talks in the book of Hebrews about just the root of bitterness getting in there. Something that's underneath the surface that nobody can see. That root of bitterness. What the Bible was saying, it said springing up and thereby many would be defiled. You know, it starts out underneath the surface. And you know, it don't seem so bad until it starts sprouting. And starts growing up. And Sister Tammy, it started growing a lot faster than what I intended for it to. I mean, with just in a few days' time, it had got big and it was starting to consume my day. I'd think about what was said. I would think about what was done. I would even think about the outside parties that were involved. The devil tried to put some things in my heart against some other ministers. And I thought, you know, they shouldn't have gave ear to that. They shouldn't have gave that time. And that was against me. And they should have been my friend. And if I told you the whole story, you'd probably say that's just foolish. But it happened to me. And I remember I told Hannah, we're going to go to the ministers' conference. And I told her on the way out there, I said, you know, this don't even make sense. This don't even make sense the way I'm feeling. We're driving down the road. Somewhere along the way, they had all, the kids and her had laid back, got occupied doing something else. And I was driving down the road, heading to the minister's meeting in Tennessee. And I made a vow to the Lord. I was tired. It had just been a few weeks, but the bitterness had got out of sight. I could feel that old bitter spirit trying to take root in my heart. And I could feel those feelings rise up. Oh, you may not even know what I'm talking. You probably do. But I really feel like the Lord dealt with me to preach to us tonight. Sometimes that bitterness can become a crutch. And I made a vow to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going out here to Tennessee. It's pretty intimidating. There's somewhere around, 800 or 900 preachers and their wives and families there. And it's kind of intimidating, you know. A lot of people out there that I respect. But I said, Lord, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. It don't matter to me when you touch me, but if I can just feel 1 ounce of your pull toward an altar, I don't care what my brothers and sisters think. They can think I'm the dirtiest rotten sinner they want to, but I'm going to get down to an altar, and I'm going to get it out, praise the Lord. But you know what? It was a few days, a couple days into that, And the day before, I could feel it rising up. I mean, all it would take is just a one little word said. And I could feel it trying to take root in my heart. And I said, Lord, please, I don't want to go through this meeting without getting this out. I realized if I didn't take care of it, and I kept using it as a crutch, that I might become a casualty by the wayside. And my wife and my children are in my hands. Their souls are at stake. And I've got to get it taken care of at the altar of God. And I remember that morning, Brother David, we were sitting back there with y'all. And Brother Sister Jill Brock got up and she started singing Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. My family didn't even know I was leaving. I just looked at Brooks and I said, buddy, I'm going to the altar if you want to go. It wasn't time for an altar call. We was in the middle of service. But I felt that tug. And God said, get it to an altar of prayer. I got down to the altar. And I'm telling you, a river broke loose in my soul. I began to pour it all out to God. And I found in just a few minutes how big that bitter root had grown in just a few weeks. I'm telling you, it don't matter who you are. The devil wants to take you down. And it might just happen with bitterness. Oh, that bitter thing has become a crutch. I guess you heard about it. I guess you know why I'm leaning on Benjamin. It's because of what happened. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, God wants to touch you in an altar of prayer tonight. Hallelujah. He really did ask for Benjamin. He asked for my crutch. What's God asking for tonight? He really is asking for me to deal with that. I wasn't the one that did anything wrong. Was Jacob? I know his nature. He was a deceiver and supplanter. But at this time, had he not already had a nature change, a wrestling match with God? Did he have any control over his wife's death? That was in the hands of the Lord. Did he have any control over what his sons did to Joseph and he still didn't know the truth about? It'd been close to 20 years since that bitter thing had happened, since they had brought home this bloody coat. And he even had a token to show everybody, I've got a reason to hold Benjamin like I do. I've got a reason, and you probably could. You could pick up the bloody coat tonight, and you could say, preacher, I've got a reason to hold like I am to Benjamin. But he didn't know what God's design was. He didn't have any idea what God had in store. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, my friend, if you only knew what God has in store for those who will pour out everything and let go of everything in the altar, God could have something wonderful on its way for you tonight. Hallelujah. Take double money in your hand. It must have been an oversight that you found the money that you took to buy the corn, found it in your sack on the way home. Take double money. I don't want to upset that fellow, whoever he is. And he said this, take also Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, if I lose it all, if I lose it all, I'll just lose. You know what? He was convinced he would go down to the grave, sorrowing for his son Joseph. He was convinced everything was working against him. That's the way it goes when bitterness takes root and starts growing.
We use it as a crutch. They've done me wrong. You're doing me wrong by taking their side. Everything's against me. I don't know who the Lord's talking to tonight, but that old bitterness can lash out, can't it? I hate that feeling in my heart. I hated it. But there was nothing I could do about it until God touched my heart. And I just let go of it all in an altar. But I want to tell you what happened right after that. I want to tell you how the Holy Ghost flooded my soul. I felt something I hadn't felt in weeks. And God touched my heart that morning in an altar of prayer. He wants to do the very same thing for a whole bunch of people that are using Benjamin as a crutch tonight. Hallelujah. You can get us a song, please. I don't know how those days went when he let Benjamin go. We're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about a man that God had touched and left his mark on. So much so that he thought he'd have to have something to lean on. He couldn't walk straight after God touched him. This is just a good crutch. I got to lean on something. It may as well be Benjamin. But that bitterness had grown up and became a crutch to him. Now he's got to let it go. Stand there. You think he is a little unsteady? Sure he was. I don't know about this. I don't know how it's all going to go. Oh, but I'd love to have been there, Brother Dathan. That day, Brother Justin Burnett, when those brothers showed back up, and they said, "Dad, we've got corn again, but we got to tell you something. That man that was asking us all those questions, that's Joseph." Oh, don't say that. Don't mention Joseph. The Bible said to Jacob's heart fainted. No, I got to sit down. Don't mention his name. Well, I know what happened to him. I've got a coat hanging over there to prove to you what happened to him. Look at the blood stains on that old coat. No, Dad, we got to tell you something. We betrayed him. We didn't know. We was jealous over the dreams and over your love for him. But God's worked it all around. He's the governor over the land. He's the one that gave us the corn. He's the one. No, I can't believe that. And then all of a sudden they said, "Dad, look. Look on the horizon. Look at all those wagons of provisions that's coming over the horizon. Those are from Joseph." And the Bible said when he saw the wagons that the heart of Jacob revived. Oh, praise God. I wish you could see what God's got prepared for somebody right here tonight that will be willing to let go of the crutch. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Now this is the part that I feel like is my weakness, is making an appeal to the altar. Hardest part. It's me trying to convince you what God wants to do. If you'll just come and lay that crutch down. Let it go. And I'm sad to say there's been a whole bunch of people sit through altar calls just like this. Has stood there in their pride. Said he can't be talking about me. I already bared my heart to you. I was the guilty party. Sister Ethel, I don't know how it happens. It just does. You know, Jesus said offenses are going to come. He said that. Woe to him that causes the offense, but they're going to come. But they don't have to become a crutch to us. I don't want you to think in any way I'm thinking you're foolish for the bitterness. Because you think I was for the bitterness I had in my heart. But I want you to look past all that and realize God's got blessings on the horizon. Woo! Hallelujah! You think that God think that God's forgotten about you? And He's able to stop a whole service to deal with your heart? I've got you standing. I'm not going to keep you much longer. It may not be an older person. It may be a young person. I can tell you about the day when we were working, Brother Dathan, and that man looked at me and he said something about my dad cutting me to the quick. Nobody had ever talked to me about my dad like that. He's not a perfect man. I know that. But he said it with a dagger and drove it in my heart and twisted. Huh? Bitterness as a young man could have taken root. I went and talked to Mom and Dad and they said, "Son, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let it roll off your back." I can't do that, Dad. That was you. He said it about... Is it somebody here they've said it about one of your loved ones? I feel the Holy Ghost right here tonight. Is it somebody that said something about somebody you've got confidence in? Drove the dagger in? I realized in the altar after... And Mom and Dad was the ones that helped me. They said, "Son, you got to let that kind of stuff go. That's nothing new. There's people that talk. There's... No, you don't understand." They said it. "You should take..." No. "You just let that roll off. That's between him and the Lord." Oh, I want to tell you tonight, my friend, I'm not undermining the hurt. It can come to any age group. Oh, but God wants to pull us out tonight. You feel that? Is there anybody in this building tonight that can feel the pull of the Lord? Oh, Sister Tammy, I believe you're on target. I believe the Lord's wanting to set somebody free. Without any further ado, would you come to the altar? If God's touched your heart, if you've been leaning on that crutch, would you be willing to say, "I'll let Benjamin go. I'll let it go in the altar of prayer. And I'll let God bring to me whatever He wants." Would you be willing? While they sing a verse of song, heads are bowed. And I do that just so you won't be too embarrassed to come out from where you're at. Nobody's looking. Will you not be too embarrassed to come down and say, "I got to deal with it tonight"? Whoever you are, I don't know who the Lord's trying to talk to. If it's a couple, would you be too embarrassed to grab your companion by the hand and come down to the altar and say, "We've got to get it out of our home, or it's going to cost all of us. It's going to cost me my wife, my children." Would you be willing to do that? Young person, if it's you and you're too scared, grab Mom or Dad by the hand. Just come down to the altar. Oh, church, don't you think God wants to help someone here tonight? Could we pray just a little bit, Lord Jesus?
Shattered we ask dreams, you as up as we know how, wounded hearts, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all,
give them all. I don't believe in being disrespectful and holding people too long, but this altar service is worth lingering for just a little bit so that somebody won't be a casualty. I believe the Lord's talking to more than just one or two. I believe there's several.
Give them
I believe
all.
There's several. Are you going to be too give prideful and stand back all. And say, "It's not me, it's somebody else"?
Give them all to Jesus. Shattered
in the name
dreams,
of Jesus.
Wounded hearts.
I believe with all my heart, if Jacob hadn't let that boy go, they'd have died right there in where they were at and not ever been able to live. The collateral was too high. They'd have died right there. But he believed the Lord. Would there be more? Let's wait just a moment longer, church, before we all come in. I wonder if there's more right here. Is there a young person that would say, "I felt that old bitter spirit trying to get a hold of me over what's been said, over what's been done. What about it tonight?" I believe the Lord's still talking to somebody. Would you be willing to come down? Would you be willing to pour it all out to the Lord in the altar? What about it tonight? Is there one? Come on.
Come on, come on.
Give them all. Give them
oh,
all.
Hallelujah.
Give them all to Jesus. And he will turn your sorrow
is there any more?
Into joy.
Is there any more? Oh, preacher, I need God's help.
Give them all.
Is there any more?
Give them all.
I need God's touch.
Give
I need
them
God's help.
All to Jesus.
I need to let Benjamin go.
Shattered dreams.
I need to lay Benjamin down. Come on, come on, come on.
Broken toes.
Oh, hallelujah. Church, before you come to the altar,
give
can we just lift
all.
Our hands for the response that we've already got
give
and thank the Lord and ask
all.
God to do something wonderful in somebody's
give
life right here tonight.
To
Lord
Jesus,
we feel the presence
and
of the Lord. The power of the Holy Ghost is here to set somebody free. Lord, help us to come around this altar and pray for our brothers and sisters, whoever they may
give
be. Let's pray until they get
give
prayed all the way through.
All.
Oh, come on, church. Come on,
give
church. Now it's our
Jesus.
Turn together in the altar of prayer and pray with our brothers and sisters. Oh, we got lives on the line. We got souls at stake. We got people that are needing a touch from heaven tonight. Hallelujah. We may have somebody's
give
eternity hinging
all.
On this altar service right here. What about
give
it? Would you like to begin to come
Jesus.
With the church? Everyone that would, let's come
and
around the altar. Oh, find somebody to pray with. Ask God to move in the hearts of these that have come. If you didn't respond a while ago and you needed to, come on down with the church. Let's pray it through tonight on the altar. Hallelujah.
Sunshine.
I believe God wants to send wagons of provision. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do a work in somebody's life. Hallelujah.
About the very thing that wants
all. Oh, church, I feel the Lord here. He wants to do a wonderful work here tonight.
Give them all.
Oh, come on, church.
Give
we know how to pray.
All.
We know how to get a hold of God.
Give them all.
We know who we're
to
talking
Jesus.
To. We're crying
shattered
out to the God of heaven that's not willing that any should perish.
And
let it all come to repentance. Benjamin again. Hallelujah. God's got something He wants to restore. Oh, praise the Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, praise God. God's got something He wants to restore in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, pray, 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 church. Oh, we need the Lord. We need the Holy Ghost right here. God can do a wonderful work. Hallelujah.